Good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality on the Sacred Embers Blog Talk Radio Network. My name is Kat Martone Peoples, and I am your host for the next hour. I'm so appreciative to my listeners for joining me, as I not only take you on a wild ride of what the bleep moments throughout the show, but also give you strong evidence-based how-to techniques and knowledge at your existing toolbox of daily practices. An array of thought-provoking questions will help you dive deep into your own subconscious mind and guide you in doing your own self-inventory and discovery of what you want to change in order to get where you want to be. So my intention here is to bring serious listeners to a state of transcendence, whereby you are generally transforming your passion into action and creating the reality that you want, need, and deserve. Staying on the topic of thought-provoking questions, here's one. What if you had 1 hour to live? Who would you call and what would you say? So although to some this may sound like a seemingly easy question, breaking down your last words and writing them down on paper is an exercise in mortality and a whole different ballgame. When DC Love, co-host of Love and Amazing Grace, also on Sacred Embers, recently asked me this question, I quickly wrote down things I thought I wanted to say, but later revisited my answers and realized answering this question became, honestly, a labor of love. A brief manuscript of moments in time that I could share own life experiences. And one of my words of wisdom to mean something to not only my family, but for humanity as well. Words that they could hold on to and recall when needed. So in answering this question, keep in mind that not everyone is on board with us being spiritual beings, having a human experience, or understand the concept of universal consciousness and connectedness. Not everyone believes in unexplained paranormal human experiences, or that we are all just vessels through which the divine works. Some aren't there yet. Aha moment, backed by my spirit team and higher self, which I called in ahead of time. My perception of the words I wanted to write shifted. So given this information, I am sending beautiful energy out to each one of you in hopes you will write from your heart as all just unfolds for you. All right, so what about the power of prayer miracles? The study of prayer, simply defined, is it works. In one study, 43% of the medical community admitted to praying for their patients, but rarely would they show that in public. So could prayer then be a prescription for healing? What about miracles? How do you know they exist? By definition, a miracle is an extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God. I personally believe in miracles because I experience them every day. I'm also fortunate and blessed to be witness to the miracles of others. So in 1991 came one of the first mainstream news sources in the United States to acknowledge the thousands of mysterious, miraculous phenomena that have been happening around the world. Since then, even the naysayers are scratching their heads. Think about it. How does one dispute testimony from all those who have given accounts of near-death experiences, testimonies from the young and the old alike, from different countries and continents around the world with different backgrounds and belief systems, all sharing the same story of being saved by angels, floating out of their body, seeing Jesus, and going to a beautiful place where they were embraced, an overwhelming sense of love, only to come back and share this information. Could they all be lying? I don't believe so. What is that spontaneous remission? It's when someone miraculously fully recovers from a disease or, for instance, fully recovers from the repercussions from a horrible accident without treatment from the medical community. Is that a coincidence? The Lear Report, who conducts polls and analyzes results from Mirror for research organizations, conducted a poll of 50,000 Americans to see if they believe in miracles. The results showed 84% of Americans did, which is overwhelming evidence suggesting that we have an upswing of believers. Awesome, right? Now, for those who still need more convincing or just want more information on how to tap into the side of the brain that helps with understanding from a more spiritual perspective, in a recent interview on Gaia, which is a network that produces a library of thousands of award-winning and critically acclaimed documentaries and films that you won't find on mainstream media, Joe Dispenza, an international speaker, researcher, author, and educator in the field of neuroscience, epigenetics, quantum physics, and the science behind spontaneous remissions, spoke about how to reprogram your subconscious mind. He states, if you're perceiving your reality from the same mindset every single day, and you're emotionally reacting to the same circumstances in your life every single day, and your environment isn't changing because you're not changing, then the same gene is being signaled in the brain. So if you've been running through the same routine behaviors for the last 10 years, and you're doing the same things tomorrow, then you've created a habit. Now your body is on autopilot, meaning you have created a predictable future for yourself. Make sense? The science shows that the stronger the emotional reaction to someone or some condition to believe, the more you pay attention to the cause. And the moment the brain puts all its attention on the cause, it takes a snapshot. And that snapshot is called a memory. Therefore, long-term memories are created from very highly emotional experiences. What happens now is that people think neurologically within the circuitry of that experience and feel chemically within the boundaries of those emotions. So when someone says to you, what's going on? Why are you in a bad mood? Turns out that if you allow your emotional reactions to last longer than a few hours or days, you literally are putting yourself in a bad mood. The scientific thing, being in a bad mood is just one long emotional reaction. What do you say to that? I say, look them up and see the research. So at this point, many people feel changing their thoughts and feelings and behaviors is too challenging. And even though they aren't happy, they stay in a cyclic routine. However, the good news is that even if a bad habit is formed and your body is on autopilot, having already created a predictable future for yourself, it is still possible to change. And this is possible because through change, we become greater than our body, greater than our mind, greater than our environment, and greater than time. Through hard work, commitment, and daily practice, we literally change the structure of our brain, and progress begins to occur. This is a well-documented scientific fact. So what are you waiting for? Real change takes time, and you are the only person who can do it. After all, you are the creator of your own reality, and you are the author of this next chapter of your life to make it good. So with all that said, I just realized I didn't introduce myself for those who don't know me yet. So get started here. I hold an undergraduate degree in business administration, a graduate degree in clinical psychology, graduating at the top of my class in both fields of study. I've been an invited guest lecturer at multiple universities throughout the years, to include Harvard, and I've made television appearances on both Fox 5 News in Manhattan and ABC, as well as local television stations. Forever learner, I am a mental health ambassador, and I've earned many conventional and spiritually-based accredited certifications. However, for the purpose of this show, I will just list the latter. I am a spiritual, shamanic, meditation, mindfulness, and holistic health and wellness practitioner. But tying this fear with change, which requires discipline, I'm going to add this. I've been directly involved with the Miss Fitness America competitions in the past, starting out as a leader, hosting local preliminary events, then becoming one of several fitness and bodybuilding judges, where we then send our winner to the televised finals. But although I was raised in a very disciplined family, it was the fitness industry where I learned what it really took to achieve goals that others may have thought impossible at one time. It's hard work, and I saw it close up, but it is 100% achievable. So moving on, I am also an intuitive empath, clairvoyant, energy healer, and oracle card reader. My incredible journey of metaphysical experiences is unending, starting in childhood and teen to this day. All right, so what do you say? Let's start an exercise. Let's start with a simple breathing technique for beginners. Breathing properly not only relaxes the mind and body, but it helps with our nervous system, lymphatic system, and our organs. And there are many variations of breathing techniques, but we're going to practice just one. So I will give you some first, then we can go ahead and do it together. All right. So again, this is for beginners. We're going to breathe in through our nose to the count of four, and I'll do the countdown. And once you've done that, you're going to exhale out your nose very slowly to the count of eight. All right, so I want you to breathe in to the count of four. One, two, three, four, and breathe out through your nose to the count of eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Good. Let's do it again. Breathe in to the count of four. And when you breathe, you want to expand your midsection, your stomach. You want to breathe deep. All right, so you can't see me, but my midsection is, it's sticking out. So you're really getting that breath. So I want you to inhale to the count of four. Ready? One, two, three, four. Exhale through your nose. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. how'd you do? All right, let's do it one last time. All right. So we're going to breathe in through your nose to the count of four. One, two, three, four, and exhale through your nose. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. All right, great job. This is a great tool to use when someone or something triggers you and you get frustrated. For instance, many times people quickly just negatively react instead of effectively responding. So if you catch yourself starting to feel like you want to argue, for instance, start the simple breathing technique and continue doing it until the feeling passes. Otherwise, you're likely to have some damage control to do. And why waste your energy? Again, just another simple technique to put into your already existing toolbox of practices. All right, our second exercise here is that of letting go. And the reason that we let go of things that no longer serve us is to make room for things to come into our lives. Because if we're holding on to anger or unforgiveness or sadness or whatever it is, other people's energy, but the emotions that you hold on to, the energies that you're holding on to that no longer serve you, you want to get rid of them because they manifest in different ways. So in letting go, you want to let go of what no longer serves you. So right now I want you to get comfortable with your back straight, which is important, either laying down or sitting up in a chair. And there's many, 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 many ways of doing this. This is just one. So I do this method in the shower in the morning, every morning. You visualize a waterfall full of beautiful rainbow colors flowing through your crown chakra, which is the top of your head, and going into every cell in your body and all around you, washing away negative people, places, things, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, actions, situations, environments, words said, spoken, written from yourself or others. You can add whatever words work for you. You can wash away old belief systems, past hurts, disappointments, anything that no longer, is in alignment with who you are. Now I want you to visualize the bottom of your feet, like just thick branches growing out from the bottom of your feet and going into the earth. This is where you're going to release everything down to the roots. Do this. You're releasing what no longer serves you down to Mother Earth, where she transmutes what no longer is in alignment with your higher self and light and love. You can also stand barefoot in this ground, on the sand, on the grass, in the dirt, and do this exercise. Say, I release. I am letting go of, and then you add the words. It really is a simple exercise, but very powerful, because you want to let in, like I said, unless you let go of something, body, it gets stuck in your arc field. It manifests in different ways. And that's something we'll talk about later, but for this show, not tonight. All right. So in this third exercise, all right, I'm going you're going to learn about what's known as what's called tapping. And this is backed by research. And tapping has consistently been shown anxiety, PTSD, and weight loss, as well as many other things. The World Health Organization announced that stress is a health epidemic, and it is. This is because stress is related to anxiety, depression, weight gain, sleep problems, lack of motivation, chronic pain, stomach issues, ADHD, the list goes on. So I'm going to start by introducing you to the 9 tapping points. So bear with me here. We're going to use these points in a very conscious manner. On a side note, it doesn't matter what side of the body you're doing the tapping on. And honestly, because there's no visuals here, you may just want to look this up afterwards if you get confused along the way here. But I will try to explain it the best that I can to keep you on point here. So the first point you need to learn about is the side of your hand. It's called the karate chop point. And literally, once there, you're just tapping on this spot just for practice. You can go ahead and do it now several times. It's just, you know, on the side of your hand. That's it. The second point is the eyebrow point. Now, this is located where the hair on your eyebrow begins there. You can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Just to get the hang of it. Now you're going to follow down to the side of your eye, not the temple, but the bone on the side of your eye. This is the third point. And that's where you'll, once we start this exercise, you'll be tapping on. The fourth point is under the eye, your nose. So that's right between your upper lip and your nose. Tap there. The sixth point is the chin, and that's located in that crease underneath your bottom lip. You start tapping there, getting the hang of it. Easy, right? So your seventh point is your collarbone. One way of doing this is you just take your hand and you can tap on your chest, like with the palm of your hand. So you're tap, 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 tapping right there on your chest with the palm of your hand. The eighth point is underneath your arm. Now, pay close attention here. You may have to look this up on YouTube later, but it's located about a hand's length away from your armpit. So for women, this is about where your bra strap lies on the side of your body. That's another tapping point, where your crown chakra is, because this is where a lot of your meridians are found. So you're going to tap, tap, tap there. So now that you know where these 9 tapping points are, we can start the stress-reducing exercise. So the first thing you want to do before we actually start tapping is notice what's coming up for you. What is your most pressing issue? Are you nervous about a deadline or an interview or meeting or meeting someone? Whatever it is you want to clear on, because when we are feeling stress, we experience it in our whole body. And this is why tapping is so powerful as a stress-relieving technique. So as you begin tapping, you want to do what's called a setup statement. You do this by stating your challenge and ending with the phrase of acceptance. By doing this, you're simply letting yourself know that you are okay. Going with a theme, for example, about being nervous, I don't know, about a meeting. You would start by tapping on each tapping point. So you would start, for instance, on your the side of your hand, right? And your setup statement could be something like, even though I am so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. Then you do it on your eyebrow. You say the same thing as you're tapping. Even though I am so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. Go to your third tapping point, the side of your eye. Even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. Under the eye. Even though you're tapping as you're saying these words. Even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. Under your nose. Even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. And then the chin, you're tapping on chin. Even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. The collarbone, you're taking the palm of your hand and tapping on your chest. Even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. Underneath your arm, which is really on the side of your body, where women's bra strap is. Again, even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. And then lastly, it's the top of your head, you're tapping and saying these words. Or, even though I'm so nervous about this upcoming meeting, I accept how I feel and I give myself permission to relax. You're going to do this three times. I'm not going to do it three times, but you get the point here. You do it three times on each of the nine tapping points. By doing this, you're sending a calming signal to your brain, telling yourself that you're safe. Another version of this technique is to do the sit-up statement by saying on each tapping point, for instance, I am worried. You tap on the side of your hand, as you're saying, I am worried. The eyebrow, the side of the eye, under the nose, your chin, collarbone, your arm, and top of your head. You're saying, these are just versions. These are examples. You're going to put your own words in there because you're going to actually put in words that are going to help you to feel less stressed. Again, like, you want to think about what is coming up. Like, what are you worried about? Are you nervous about something, someone? You know, it could be anything. All right. So when you say, for instance, I am worried, and you do that on all of your tapping points, you're honoring how you actually feel. So once you do this on all your tapping points and the intensity of your feelings have become less intensified, you can focus on replacing that negative statement with a positive phrase such as, I am confident in all that I do. Then you will go back again and tap on each of your tapping points, right? As you're tapping, you're saying, I am confident in all that I do on all nine points. And you do that three times as well. So once you can do that with the tapping on each point, you are training your brain to believe it. By doing this consistently, you're changing, literally, the structure of your brain, thus setting yourself up for success and relieving stress. So I hope that was understandable. Again, just if you didn't understand it, just go on YouTube. See how it's done. And all this will make sense. But it's honestly tapping is used all the time. And in research, it has consistently been shown used to reduce stress as well as all of the other things mentioned. So I encourage you to try it. All right. So every day I do affirmations. And I just wanted to share, like, affirmations can be anything. But you always want to start with I am. So I am grateful. I am blessed. I am abundant. Spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially. I am victorious in all that I do. I am a money magnet. Money flows to me easily in conventional and unconventional ways, and I share it willingly. And then you can add, you know, what you want to use it for. These are your, you know, these are just examples. You know, I have probably 300 affirmations, so I just named a few here. But you always want to, in my opinion, is you want to, this is my opinion, but you know, you always want to start with being grateful because the universe is just giving you back, you know, more of what you're putting out there, right? So I am grateful. I am blessed. All right. Here's a few more. I am resonating with divine order. My soul is the highest vibration. I am divinely protected. My soul is safe to explore my path with ease and grace. I am reawakening my soul's desire to learn and grow beyond existing limitations. I am accepting I cannot save everyone. I choose to help those open to assistance. I am singing the beautiful sacred song of my heart, clear and loud for all to hear, clarity. I am the master of my own reality. I am ready to change and move on. I am continuously evolving with conscious action. So, again, there are many more, but that is... there's just a few. So, as promised, there are many what the bleep moments that I've experienced in my life, and it started in childhood. I don't know how these things happen. I'll be the first one to tell you that, but they happen, and you find your tribe, right? You can't always talk about, you know, these things with people who are not like-minded or have had, you know, experiences of their own because in the past, you know, when I was younger, I would, you know, I did remember saying something and even, you know, as an adult at one point, and, you know, you get the response from those who don't have these experiences. Well, you know, I believe that you believe that happened. So it just shuts you down, right? And so, you know, through the years when things kept happening, for those people who, like I said, you find your tribe. It's a normal, everyday experience for people. For me, it's always an aha, like, oh my gosh, moment. What the bleep moment? This happened. At this point, I feel like there's, honestly, in terms of metaphysical experiences, I've experienced the whole gamut of quantum physics, of the realities of, you know, I see energy. You know, that's my name, Claire. But I wanted to share, there was one experience that to me recently, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And I just can't. But I was outside. Here it is. I was outside in front of the house when I saw an extraordinarily large, odd-shaped, what looked like a green orb. So for those of you, I'm sure you all know what an orb is, but if you don't, it's just like a little round ball of light, right? I still remember the first time I saw one, I didn't know what I was looking at, so I had to Google white ball of light, and it came up an orb. Since then, there's been hundreds of experiences, but seeing, because it wasn't just a round ball, it was like a kind of like, it was just odd shaped, and it was very large, and it was green, like green. And I'm looking at this thinking, what am I looking at, right? And this thing is slowly coming towards me. I was not drinking. I was, I just walked outside for something, I forget, and was walking back in the house when this happened. And it literally stopped me in my tracks. And being the curious person that I am, I started walking towards it. And as I did, whatever this was, slowly backed up, like it actually had a consciousness, like it was wild, and yet it started slowly coming closer to me, to the point, and I'm honestly very weirded out at this point, because I just can't figure this out. And it just slowly started coming towards me, to the point where I actually thought it was going to get through me. Like I said, at this point, I can honestly say a little freaked out, but I did find the courage to approach it again. And then when I did, green orb, if that's what it was, slowly, here's the thing, it slowly, just like it knew what it was doing, because I've seen orbs 100 times and nothing has ever done something like this. They've moved on me before, but this, it's like it heard me and it was reacting to me, you know, what I was doing. So anyway, when I did have the courage to approach it again, it slowly backed up and then just eventually disappeared. So what was that? I do not know. All right. So let's see how we're doing on time here. So since okay. So I pulled, as an Oracle card reader, I pulled a card for the collective tonight. So I hope it resonates. Listeners, if it doesn't, it just wasn't meant for you this time. So I pulled the cards from the Angel Therapy oracle cards, which is used as, you know, divine way of tapping into everyone. So we call on the, you know, when I'm also on another show called Angel Answers. And when we do readings, we are asking to the highest and the greatest good of all those people who are calling in, and we're calling in their souls, we're calling in their highest self on a way. And, you know, there's prayers that we say ahead of time. There's, before doing oracle card readings, you know, many light workers do different things. When they're doing two or three things, I'm doing seven. So I just do, I do the prayers, I do the protections, I do all kinds of things. But like I said, they're, you know, these are things that I want to add to your own personal toolbox of spiritual practices, just to help you tap in. Because transcendent service, put your entire intention on answering the question, how can I make the world a better place? And the law of attraction, God, will automatically take care of your needs. Everything, by the way, is always in the light. Always in the light. And that's an affirmation you can say. I am only accepting light. That's it. That's all you want, right? So this card was drawn because you're being called into spiritual service. It is saying that, you know, the thought of conducting public spiritual work may trigger nervousness, if that's where you're headed. But don't worry, though. This anxiety has no bearing on your readiness for service. It's simply the ego wrestling to gain control through fear. The antidote is to focus on your higher self mission, which is the loving service of the divine. Spiritual work can be anything you want it to be, but you're connecting to that one great force in the universe, right? So while the ego wants to concentrate on I worries, such as what if I can't do this, or what if they don't like me, your higher self is completely focused on loving and giving service. Your higher self is 100% tapping into divine healing energy and focusing just on blessings instead of impressing others. So you want to begin opening your heart to loving everyone involved and asking the question again, how may I serve? To put your higher self in charge. So there's action steps here that I'm being given. It's telling me sit quietly and visualize yourself conducting a healing session or writing a book. You could be writing a book. You could be doing some, you know, other spiritually based intention. It could be, you know, just joining any humanitarian efforts, spirituality. You could teach. You can share your experiences. You know, giving testimony is really important, I've learned, because there's people who go through experiences their whole life and think that they're alone, yet they're not. So it's just there's so much need out there. And so imagine the people involved, right? You're visualizing this. Imagine the people involved that you'll be working with, and imagine them smiling receptively at the service you're providing. Feel your heart opening to these people who are brimming with gratitude that you're giving so joyously. see all of your material needs easily provided for, knowing that as you focus on giving, that the universe is automatically giving back to us. And hard. And I feel that that does, hopefully anyway, resonate with everyone, because we are all here to either teach or learn, right? And there's always something that we can teach. There's always something we can do in terms of, again, humanitarian work. Like, you know, some people want to work with animals. When I clean out my closets, for example, you know, I do go places where things that don't fit me go, or Goodwill, or I'll give them away. But all of the blankets or just, you know, big, heavy, you know, whatever, sheets, whatever that I'm getting rid of goes to my sister, who then takes it to the Humane Society or wherever, you know, it's needed for animals. So that's in loving service of the divine, because as we all know, we are all connected. Everything, this our it's a universal consciousness that we're tapping into. And, you know, you can look at inequality, you know, whatever resonates with you. You know, and a lot of times, you know, it's fun. You know, I just did, you know, I was just asked to do a fundraiser the other day, or be part of one, I should say. And, you know, they made it fun for everyone. And it was in support of the Children's Tumor Foundation. And you know, where tumors grow on these little kids' brains, there's no, you know, there's no cure, you know. So those type of things, you know, if you have a relative or a friend, you know, that has a child or, you know, adult going, you just sit there and sit with an elderly person to just talk to them, you know. I mean, there's so many things that you could be doing. All right, enough. So the next card I pulled was the Power Animal. This card is a message for you to work with animals, both physically and spiritually. So it says your animal spirit guide is a guardian to you and is helping you with whatever situation you're going through at this time. And as we know with animals, all they do is love us. All they do, they're there to love us unconditionally, whether we're in good mood or a bad mood, it doesn't matter. So again, this card is a message for you to work with animals, both physically and spiritually, for they are reaching out and attempting to communicate with you. And if you've ever looked in like one of your animal's eyes, like I swear, I have three dogs, and they all have different personalities, but the one especially, honest to God, it's like you're looking through the soul, through her eyes, and it's just, and I know she's here for a reason, they all are. Sometimes animals take on, you know, personalities that are not always helpful to us or others. They take that on in, like, service of its owner, right? So if, for instance, you have an owner that is very anxious, you may have a dog that will take on that anxiousness away from its owner and go through life just that way, willingly. Again, there's so much that I could say here. But let me finish reading the card here. So they're reaching out to communicate with you. So in order to hear them, you'll need to listen with your heart and your ear without judgment. And once you open your mind, you will be able to hear their loving hearts, their voices and messages. You also have animals that will guide you, which may include a special pet. They're calling these power animals, which are like angels who are very connected to the earth. So action steps here is to go to a location where there are trees or plants so that nature can help you with your journey to meet your power animal. Then close your eyes and breathe deeply as you hold the intention of connecting with the animal who serves as your spirit guide. Intention is key here. Without intention, I believe it's a crapshoot. Imagine yourself in a magical forest calling to your spirit or your power animal. Without specifying what type of animal you're expecting, let yourself see and know the animal who was your guide. And then ask this spiritual being any question you like, especially about your connection to nature and the environment. So I hope that that helped. I wish I have more experiences that I like to share about animals, but because of the time, I don't have any more time left. So I'm just going to say that I want to thank all of my listeners for joining me tonight, and I hope you enjoyed tonight as much as I did, and I hope you will practice what you learned tonight. I believe in you, and I want to truly, truly have that spiritual toolbox of practices that's going to take you to a higher level of consciousness so that you're able to achieve success. You're able to achieve your goals. You're able to put into action, all those dreams that you've had, that you've put on paper or ideas that have been sitting in your closet for years, revisit that, because if you keep thinking about the same things, those are messages from the divine that's something that you are meant to do. And if you're not doing them, then, they're just going to keep reminding you. So, and I appreciate you all. If you have any questions, you can contact me at kdpeoples@gmail.com. My website is under construction at this time, but will be up shortly. So with that said, I wish you all a beautiful evening. God bless and good night. Bye.